for this morning will be something a little bit different. Maybe it's not different. I don't know if you do it here or not. But what we'll do this morning is we'll read actually from Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita. Because sometimes it's also beautiful to hear about Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful adventures and pastimes while he was here. So, I'll just bring it up. So, if someone can, there are 6 volumes in the Prabhupada's Lilamrita, so maybe number between 1 and 6.
3.
3. Everyone always goes for the number.
Yeah.
Okay. A number between 22 and 28, Thakur.
26.
26. Okay, so we are reading 1967. Basically what happened, Srila Prabhupada came to America in which year?
1965.
1965, yes, Srila Prabhupada came. Janmashtami 1965, Srila Prabhupada was in the ship, all alone. He celebrated Janmashtami on the ship. He did a little festival with everyone, the captain, a few of the crew members. Can you imagine Srila Prabhupada, who was living in Vrindavan? How many of you have ever been to Vrindavan for Janmashtami? Okay, you know what it's like. You know what Janmashtami here is like. Even in Manchester, you have 1,000 devotees. At the manor, you have 80,000 devotees. Can you imagine what Janmashtami in Vrindavan is like? Thousands and thousands of devotees. And Srila Prabhupada left. He left Vrindavan. If you're going to leave Vrindavan, you'd probably leave after Janmashtami. Like, no one leaves the Hare Krishna movement on a Sunday morning. At least they were Sunday feast, you know. So Prabhupada, he just left. Just why? Because he had the opportunity. Okay, let's go. So Prabhupada was all alone on the ship, celebrating Janmashtami alone. He said, I'm feeling separation from my lordship, Sri Govinda, Gopinath, Radha Damodar. I'm remembering Vrindavan. Where today so many people will be celebrating Janmashtami. But I'm here all alone on the ship, in a cargo ship, celebrating to fulfill the order of my spiritual master. So Prabhupada came to America in 1965. And did you know that the winter of 1965 in America was one of the coldest recorded winters in American history? So sometimes you can see the pictures of Prabhupada, he's walking in the snow with a long coat. It was so alien for him. So Prabhupada came to America in 1965 and he was struggling. And then what happened is that Srila Prabhupada began his first temple in 1966, 26 Second Avenue. It used to be a shop that was selling all different items. And so when they came to rent that storefront, on the top of the shop front, it had the name Matchless Gifts. They're selling all kinds of gifts, jewelry and different things. So when they came, Prabhupada said, keep the name. Because Krishna consciousness is a matchless gift. There's no other gift like this. So actually, this is the real Matchless Gifts now. So that 26 Second Avenue became known as the first temple in ISKCON. How many of you have been there? Anyone been there? Okay, if you go there, it's like this. Maybe smaller, a little smaller than this. And it's exactly how it was when Srila Prabhupada was there. Next to the Matchless Gifts was a donut shop. So sometimes the hippies would come in. And they would like the kirtan, and then when the lecture would start, you know, because normally it's kirtan, lecture, prasadam. So they like the kirtan. When the lecture was on, they'd go next door and get a donut. When the prasadam was served, then they'd come back for the prasadam. So Prabhupada realized they're all going for the donuts. And you know what Prabhupada did? Yeah, then he made a jar and he made it full of gulab jamuns. And he called them ISKCON bullets. And so he said, this jar is available. If any time anyone is hungry, just take a gulab jamun. No need to go to the donut shop. So like this, Prabhupada was having morning and evening lectures a few times a week. Evening time, many would come. Morning time, no one would come. He's in the morning sleeping. But there were a few that were coming. And then one person who was coming, Jayananda. You know Jayananda? He was the one who began the Rath Yatra. So he was a bit older than everyone else. He was not a hippie. He was a cab driver. So he was a little more sober. So he was coming. And then later on some more hippies came and they said, later on they said to all the other hippies, we recommend you come in the morning. It's very good for when you're landing from your LSD trip. It's a good way to land back into the world from your LSD high. So like this, the New York temple began. Srila Prabhupada was... he was just teaching everyone Krishna consciousness there. One time the temple room was filled and one reporter came. So the reporter was walking in, room full of hippies. Prabhupada was walking in and the reporter saw that everyone had taken their shoes off. He looked inside, everyone was a little... She looked at Prabhupada, she said, what are all of these people doing here? Prabhupada said, I don't know. And then he looked at them and he said, I don't think they know either. They were just standing up here, somehow or other. Later on, many years after, they decided that they would try to buy that building, the 26th Second Avenue, because that's the first temple in ISKCON, such a historic place. So the person, the landowner, he knew that the devotees wanted it, so he hiked up the price. So then they came to Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, we're trying to buy that building, but the price is so high. And then one devotee said, and anyway, why do we want that temple there? It's in such a bad neighborhood. It's full of alcoholics, it's full of, you know, criminals, it's full of dropouts from society. It's not the best place to preach. And then Prabhupada looked at all of them and he said, but you all came. In other words, they forgot that they were those same people. They were those same people. So it was a very heavy atmosphere. This 26 Second Avenue was in the Lower East Side of New York. If you think Wally Range is bad, or West Side, isn't it? West Side, is that the word? West Side. That is nothing. Lower East Side means the Skid Row. You understand? Skid Row means that's where the lowest people, that they don't have any opportunity in life, that's where they hang out. So Prabhupada said, I was in Vrindavan, in the center of the spiritual world. You know where Prabhupada was staying in Vrindavan? He was staying in Radha Damodar temple. And when you go to Radha Damodar temple, if you see in the courtyard, there's a wall. And you know what's on the other side of that wall?
Samadhi
is inside, the boundary area. And then in that courtyard, then there's a boundary wall. And you know what's over on the other side of the wall?
Seva Kunj.
Seva Kunj. And you know what Seva Kunj is? That's where Radha and Krishna do their Nitya Leela. At a certain point in the evening, that place is locked. No one can go in. If someone goes in, it's said that they come out mad. Because you can't behold the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada was there in the middle of the spiritual world. He was staying there where Radha and Krishna performed their most confidential pastimes. And from there Prabhupada came and lived in the Lower East Side, where at night you don't hear temple bells, you hear glasses breaking. You don't hear people singing Hare Krishna, you hear police sirens. It was such a different place. So then, after some time in 26 Second Avenue, then one devotee came and he said, Prabhupada, maybe I can serve you in some other way. Prabhupada said, yes, why don't you go to San Francisco and open a temple there? Do you know who that was? Mukunda Goswami, yes. His name was Michael Grant. And he was actually the one who helped find Prabhupada 26 Second Avenue. So then he went to San Francisco. San Francisco and New York was a little different. Of course, they were all taking drugs. Of course, they were all a little bit dropouts from society. But New York was still a little bit conservative. San Francisco was completely free love. So there it was even more wild. Srila Prabhupada used to go to the Golden Gate Park. Have you seen the videos on Golden Gate Park? Of how Prabhupada was doing the kirtans there. Maybe one time we can show. That was real amazing place. And San Francisco temple began. And San Francisco became known as New Jagannath Puri. And you know why? Because one day Malati Mataji, she had gone to the store, and you know they were always trying to find different things that they thought would resemble Vedic culture. In 26 Second Avenue they brought many things. One time they brought a totem pole. You understand? Totem pole is like that. Sometimes they even use for black magic. Obviously it's nice, but maybe it's not so relevant. You know? But then they found also many good, nice picture of Hanuman they found. So they were trying to make it nice. So they didn't really know. When Mukunda Maharaj greeted Srila Prabhupada at San Francisco airport, he came in a Merlin the Magic coat. You know that Merlin? Merlin is famous magician. So he came like that. He thought that's quite Vedic. So they were always looking, and Malati Mataji, she went to a shop and then she found a little figure. Big eyes. She thought, oh, this is nice. What's this? Then she brought it back. And the Prabhupada saw, oh my God, Jagannath. So Prabhupada said to her, dear, did you see two others there with it? See two others? Yeah, maybe there was also two others there also. He said, go back, bring them. So she went back to the store and then she, I can't remember who it was, but the other two brought back and then all three were there. And then Malati Mataji's husband, who was? Shyam Sundar. Then Prabhupada told him that you should, he was expert carver. So he said, you should carve Jagannath deities. So then the Jagannath, he was carving, but he couldn't give up smoking. But he was carving the deities. Amazing. And then one time he couldn't give up smoking, but he was still carving the deities. Prabhupada was very kind. So one time Prabhupada walked into where he was carving the deities. And on top of Jagannath there was a cigarette packet. Prabhupada came, God, cigarette packet. So Prabhupada, he, with his cane, just went like this. He didn't want to touch it himself, probably, you know. He just went like this, flicked the cigarette packet off Jagannath. And then he looked at Shyam Sundar and he said, why are you letting such a small thing come between you and Krishna? You give it up. And then he gave it. So they were amazing, these individuals. Mukunda Maharaj where one time Prabhupada just turned up at his house. I think this was in New York. And Mukunda Maharaj, he had a cat. You know what the name of the cat was? No. Skazal Bangar or something like that. And Prabhupada just turned up in the early morning. He was all disheveled, the cat was there, the thing was in a house was in a mess. And Mukunda Maharaj, Michael Grant, he was watching cartoons. Prabhupada came in. Prabhupada sat down and then the cat jumped into Prabhupada's hand. I mean, in India, cats and dogs, they're unclean, no? Because they... So Prabhupada was very tolerant, and then Prabhupada spoke speaking to him, and then he saw these cartoons. He said, what's this? These cartoons. Prabhupada said, this is a waste of time. You realize, yeah, maybe this is a waste of time. So it was an amazing place, and San Francisco became known as New Jagannath Puri. And then at one point, Srila Prabhupada decided to go back to India. So chapter 26 now. This is not the first time Prabhupada went back to India because he had some health difficulty while he was in New York. And at that time, he also went back for some time. But this is Srila Prabhupada now leaving for India after spending 2 years in America. So, 2026, Swamiji's departure. At the San Francisco airport, Prabhupada smiled, but said little as the devotees greeted him with flowers and kirtan. It was different this time. He walked straight ahead with the aid of a cane. Jayananda was waiting with his station wagon to drive Prabhupada to the private house they had rented north of the city at Stinson Beach. But first, Prabhupada said that he wanted to visit the San Francisco Radha Krishna Temple. Jayananda drove to 518 Frederick Street. Prabhupada got out of the car and entered the small storefront, which was filled with waiting devotees and guests. He bowed before the smiling Jagannath deities and, without speaking a word, left the room, returned to the car, and departed for Stinson Beach. So the devotees there rented a place, Stinson Beach, where Prabhupada could recover because Prabhupada was having many health problems. Once in New York, Prabhupada was also having heart palpitations. Because remember, even when Prabhupada came on the Jaladuta, he had 2 heart attacks. So, can you imagine if you come off a ship and you have 2 heart attacks? I mean, the first thing you're going to do when you arrive is go to the hospital and get it checked out, get some kind of ECG done or something. Not Prabhupada. Is the heart attack? Okay, he survived. Let's go on. You know? So Prabhupada just continued on, but it was always there. So these palpitations were coming back. Once on Thanksgiving Day, Prabhupada was having heart palpitations in New York. And so Brahmananda was trying to find a doctor. But on Thanksgiving weekend, it's like, how do you find a doctor? It's like Easter weekend, it's very difficult to find anyone. So finally they found one doctor. So he turned up, he was complete like a quack, you know. Clearly he didn't know what he was doing, he had a stethoscope, very scruffy, like half drunk. You know, so anyway he came in, but the devotees were anyway, this is the best we can do. So he looked at Prabhupada, he put the stethoscope on him, said, you know, what's going on here, you know. Anyway, then Prabhupada was in one room, so then he came to the other room, and then the devotee said, so what do you think? What's the problem? So Prabhupada was listening from the other room, but he was in this room. And then the doctor, he said, ah, he's okay. The old man's okay. He's having heart palpitations, you know? No, the old man, he's okay. He just he's praying too much. He prays too much. He needs to go for a walk every day. So Prabhupada was overhearing from the other room. The doctor left. He said, no, he has said good. I need to walk every day. And that's how Prabhupada began doing morning walks. The boy, he said, yeah, he just prays too much. There should be some walking. Prabhupada was so humble, could learn from anyone. He saw Krishna coming through anyone. So now Prabhupada had gone to Stinson Beach, and there he was recovering. The ride up through the seaside cliffs was so winding and climbing that Prabhupada became nauseated. Even when lying down in the back seat and having Jayananda drive slower didn't help much. Kirtanananda realized that it would be too difficult for Prabhupada to visit the San Francisco temple from Stinson Beach. But maybe that would be just as well. He could spend all of his time recuperating. Here you hear the name Kirtanananda. I'll tell you an amazing story. There were two boys, their names were Howard and Keith, and they were living in New York. And they became interested in spiritual life, so they were trying to find a guru. So they thought, well, where's the best place to find a guru? India. So what happened is they booked a ticket to go to India. So now, in 1965, Prabhupada arrived on the Jalandhar. He landed, came to the port, Prabhupada came off the Jaladuta. You know what happens when a plane or a ship comes in, right? They clean it up, they turn it around, and then it goes back immediately. So when Prabhupada landed in the Jaladuta in America, then what happened is about 6 or 7 days later, the Jaladuta turned around to go back to India. And you know who went on that ship? Howard and Keith, to find the guru. Oh my God, if you had come here 6 days before. They went back to India on the Jaladuta to find the guru. When the guru of gurus, the Jagat Guru, had come on the Jaladuta to America. So they went to India, Howard and Keith. And they traveled around for many months. And then they came back to New York. They thought, we met many nice people, but no one we felt was our guru. And then one day, Keith, he was walking, Howard or Keith, one of them, he was walking down the street and he saw someone in saffron robes. So he thought, my God, I didn't take any LSD today. This looks like a hallucination. I mean, I'm not in India anymore, I'm in America. What in the world is a saffron sadhu doing here? So he came up and he came face to face with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he looked at Prabhupada and he said, are you from India? Prabhupada said, yes. Prabhupada looked at him and said, are you from India? He said, no, I'm not from India. But I just been to India. Prabhupada said, why were you in? Prabhupada said, I was looking for a guru. So Prabhupada said, oh, you're looking for a guru. You come in the evening and hear our Bhagavad Gita classes. And that Howard and Keith became known as? Kirtanananda. Is Keith? Hayagriva. So Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Brahmande Brahmite Konabhagyaman Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Parinathilata Beach. The jiva is wandering in the universe, but when they become very, very fortunate, somehow or other, if they become a bhagyavan, very fortunate, then they will come across a guru by Krishna's mercy, and by guru's mercy, they will get Krishna's mercy. So Kirtanananda was there with Prabhupada, he got initiated. Kirtanananda later on became the first sannyasi in ISKCON. It was a modern single-story, six-room house with a Japanese roof. a sign up front read Paradiso. Srila Prabhupada noticed in the front yard amidst fashionable lawn furniture a statue of Lord Buddha, a garden ornament. When Prabhupada entered the house, he found Mukunda and his wife Janaki waiting for him. They bowed down and Janaki wept in happiness. Prabhupada smiled but kept walking slowly and silently through the house. The large living room overlooking the Pacific Ocean was decorated with some of Jadurani's paintings of Lord Vishnu. Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, as well as Indian prince of Jagannath Puri. Prabhupada's bedroom, also facing the ocean, had sliding windows. On the wall was a portrait of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and a painting of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada smiled and said the paintings were very, very nice. It's amazing, the paintings, isn't it? How they were able to, so early on, paint all of these pictures. Clearly you can see, Prabhupada said, the pictures are windows to the spiritual world. So clearly when one is having deep devotion, then for example an artist becomes empowered by Krishna's mercy to then begin painting certain things that otherwise they have never seen. If you go today to Barsana, have you ever been to Barsana? Barsana is Radharani's place. In Barsana there's one temple called Mur Kutir, the temple of the peacocks. And if you go inside that temple, there's a painting, very, very famous painting of Radha and Krishna, who are dancing like peacocks. It's a very, very beautiful painting. Because have you seen peacocks dance? So, Radha and Krishna were dancing like two peacocks. And someone painted this scene of Radha and Krishna dancing like peacocks. But you know the amazing thing? You know what's amazing about this painting?
He was blind?
He was blind. The artist was blind. And you look at this painting and you think, how a blind person? Have you ever tried? You try even just writing a sentence with your eyes closed. You try.
I can't even
try. Maybe you'll be somewhat. Okay.
Yep, no, I wrote like this.
Yeah. Imagine a painting. Therefore, Krishna Shakti Vinana He Parapravratani. If you're invested with Krishna Shakti, you can do anything. So Jadurani Mataji, she was one of Srila Prabhupada's very early disciples, and she had she became one of the first painters. If you look at many of the early photos of Srila Prabhupada, she is walking with Prabhupada. One time she was walking with Prabhupada early in the morning, and they were walking, and you know, Bhagavad Gita says, Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyaham Jagrati Samyami, that when the devotees go to sleep, the materialists wake up. And when the materialists go to sleep, the devotees wake up. They have opposite lifestyles. So the devotees were walking early in the morning, Jadurani and two other Matajis, dressed in sari. And then on the other side of the road, the other ladies were coming back in miniskirts. It was freezing. You can't imagine early morning. Even now, today is very hot, but still the morning is cold. So imagine in the cold winter, they were in miniskirts. So Prabhupada looked at Jadurani and said, see, everyone in this world does austerity. Their austerity is for sex life. Your austerity is for Krishna. Because these ladies were looking at Jadurani and all of them in saris, thinking, what are these guys wearing? Jadurani and all of them were looking at them, what are these guys wearing? Prabhupada said, they think you're mad and you think they're mad. That's the definition. So Jadurani, she was there very early and she painted many of these pictures. Of course, sometimes the devotees did also make mistakes in some transcendental mistakes. One time, in 26 Second Avenue, they had painted a picture of Panchatapa. You know what happened, right? There's a painting of it, so then there's the grand unveiling of the picture of Panchatapa. And when the curtain came down, Prabhupada looked at it and he said, oh. And what they did is that they didn't realize, but they had painted all the Panchatapa as ladies, with all the features of ladies. Because they thought they're just a scene, you know, they're just a scene, they were ladies. It's nice. I don't know if we can use this one. So they also sometimes made some, but it was sort of wonderful. The devotees agreed that only Kirtanananda and Upendra would stay and serve Swamiji. They wanted Swamiji's stay to be peaceful so that his health could improve. That night, Srila Prabhupada felt pain in his heart but couldn't sleep, and he didn't rise early for translating. At 5 a.m., Kirtanananda came in and opened the window slightly so that Prabhupada could receive the soft ocean breeze. Prabhupada sat up in his bed, chanting his japa and gazing at the feet of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. A mountain range to the east blocked the morning sun. Ever since Prabhupada's stroke, Kirtanananda had been regularly massaging Prabhupada morning and evening. Kirtanananda would rub Prabhupada's head vigorously and then sit behind him and massage his back. Next, he would massage Prabhupada's chest, his arms and his legs. The complete massage lasting sometimes more than an hour. Since leaving the hospital, Prabhupada had also been taking daily morning walks, even while on the Lower East Side. And this morning, he went down for a walk on the beach, accompanied by Kirtanananda and Upendra. As Prabhupada walked on the beach, he pointed his cane towards some bubbles in the sand. Just see, he said, there are living entities everywhere. There is no place without living entities. And they say there is no life on the moon. The beach was rocky, and there were cliffs where the waves crashed powerfully like thunder. You hear this sound? Srila Prabhupada asked. This is an echo of the gopis' heartbeats when they are feeling separation from Krishna. So yesterday we were talking at the beginning of the class of how Prabhupada was seeing Krishna everywhere. So in everything Prabhupada saw, Krishna was always there. When Srila Prabhupada looked out at different things, he could decipher many lessons of philosophy. Just like one time they were walking in Russell Square and Prabhupada just stopped. You know, like sometimes Prabhupada would just stop abruptly and everyone would be like, you know, make sure they don't trip over Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada with his cane, he pointed to the floor. And he said, what is the meaning of this? So the devotees looked down and it was just bird droppings. So Prabhupada said, what is the meaning of this? So they were trying to see if there's like, is there a home sign in there? Like, there's a mystic or something there, what is there? So the devotees were baffled. Prabhupada said, this means, anyone know?
The birds have been there for more than like 2 weeks.
Even the birds get attached to their dwelling place. Okay. So Prabhupada said, the fact that there's so many bird droppings here means that the birds have been living here for a long time. What is to get attached to one tree? This tree or that tree? It's the same thing. But the birds stay in one tree. Because once you get, it's so easy to get attached even to something insignificant in this world. It's like even in a Hare Krishna temple room, you see that generally devotees always sit in the same position. You were there yesterday, see, he's attached. So then he's attached.
I sat there over something.
Generally, see how easy it is to get attached to a place. Because we feel like, so Prabhupada said, even the birds get attached to a tree. That's why there's so many bird droppings here. If they were moving constantly, there would not be so much here. So Prabhupada was seeing signs everywhere. One time Prabhupada told one devotee to go and do some banking. This is in London. So then the devotee came back, Prabhupada said, you did the banking? He said, yes. He said, where's the receipt? He said, he didn't give me a receipt. He didn't give you a receipt? You asked for a receipt? No. And he didn't give you a receipt? No. Prabhupada said, this signifies the end of the British Empire. He didn't give you a receipt? Why? So Prabhupada said, the British, they were able to conquer so many places, even with small number of people. How many British were in India? Very few. But they were controlling the whole thing. Why were the British so effective in controlling things? Because of organization and intelligence. So Prabhupada said, now the fact that they haven't given you a receipt means that their administration standard has gone down. And because their administration standard has gone down, they will not now no longer be able to control. So it's the sun has set on the British Empire. Interesting, huh? Who would draw such a conclusion? So like this, Prabhupada was seeing Krishna's teachings everywhere. He walked for an hour until his two young servants were both tired. Do I tire you walking? He laughed. This walking and massaging are saving my life from day to day. Then he continued walking. By 11 o'clock, the sun finally appeared over the mountains and through the clouds. Srila Prabhupada, his head wrapped with a towel, sat in a folding chair on the beach, taking in the sunshine. He kept saying he needed more sun. After lunch, the sky was again overcast. You know what Srila Prabhupada said? There is a difference between the morning sun and the afternoon sun. You know the difference? You don't know the difference between the morning sun and the afternoon sun? Prabhupada said the morning sun gives energy and the afternoon sun takes energy. Therefore, in the morning, be in the Surya Namaskar, yoga in the sun, salutations. In the afternoon, in India, everyone escapes the sun. Even in Spain, siesta. So, Prabhupada would in the sun. We'll just end. I'll just say it one more, then we'll take any questions. In the evening, Prabhupada called Kirtanananda and Upendra into the large living room and led them in a subdued kirtan, singing Hare Krishna and Govinda Jaya Jaya. He stood and led them in a large circle around the room. He would stop before the picture of Krishna, bow slightly with folded palms, turn around, and then continue in the circle. On July 8th, after Prabhupada had been at Paradiso for 2 days, Shamsundar Mukunda drove up from San Francisco. The next day was to be Rath Yatra, And Shyamasundara and Mukunda, the first devotees to visit Prabhupada since his arrival at Stinson Beach, told Prabhupada all about the festival preparations. Of course, the whole festival had been Prabhupada's idea, but the devotees in San Francisco were trying to do exactly as he had asked. So Srila Prabhupada wanted Rath Yatra all over the world. In Jagannath Puri, the pandits of the Jagannath temple, they were objecting. Jagannath Rath Yatra is only one day of the year. You can't just take Jagannath out any willy-nilly, any day of the year you want. It's one festival and it happens on one day of the year. Prabhupada said, no, why? We can take Jagannath out on any day of the year. Today we'll take Jagannath out on Radhastami Day in London. How? According to Jagannath Puri pandits, you cannot do. Even to this day they do not like. But Prabhupada said, Jagannath appears anywhere. Jagannath is always eager to come out. Jagannath is always excited to give the mercy. And so Srila Prabhupada just started Rath Yatra everywhere, on all days of the year, in multiple locations, because he said Krishna is appearing again and again, and Jagannath is there to bless. He said that if someone sees the Jagannath Puri, the Jagannath Rath Yatra car, then you know what happens? This is mentioned in Garuda Puran. It's mentioned that if anyone somehow gets the vision of seeing the Jagannath Rath Yatra, then it becomes such a strong impression in their consciousness that what happens at the end of life, when all the images of your life are going through, when it comes to that image of Jagannath, it stops there. And then you leave your body remembering that scene of the Jagannath. Because the Garuda Puran says it's such a strong impression when someone sees the Jagannath Rath Yatra. It's a special festival. So Srila Prabhupada wanted this festival, and somehow it all worked like that. San Francisco was new Jagannath Puri, and therefore San Francisco became the first place where Jagannath Rath Yatra took place. And even today you can see those videos of the first, there was on a flatbed truck. That was the cart. And then later on. And then many, many pastimes were there. Later on in New York, they did a Rath Yatra festival, so they were thinking, we need to build a Rath Yatra cart, but we need a place where we can build the cart. So they approached one businessman. And he said, okay, you can use this this place I have, which I'm not using for my business anymore. And the devotees made the cart there. And you know who that businessman ended up becoming?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump gave the devotee, now you see Donald Trump in different way. Donald Trump in the 70s, he gave a courtyard for the devotees where they could build the Rath Yatra carts. Anyway, he got some message for sure. Against everything else he's done. So somehow or other, Jagannath is just engaging everyone. Jayananda Prabhu, once he was making Jagannath Rath Yatra cart, so he would just engage anyone and everyone. So there was one boy who came there. This boy was kind of throwing things and, you know, a little bit like a ruckus kind of disturbance. So Jayananda just go, hey, come over. Okay, just do me one favor. Can you just hold this nail? Just hold this one nail, I just gotta. So this boy, he thought, I like this guy's. So he had this one nail, and then Jayananda hit the nail, and Jayananda looked at him and he goes, that was amazing! It's boy thought, what's he talking about? He said, the way you held that nail, I mean, you held it so steady. You didn't even flinch. You didn't even move one. I mean, that's an incredible feat. Can you stay here and hold a few more nails? So this boy was like, wow, he's so appreciative, you know? He's so appreciating me so much. So he thought, yeah, he's a nice guy. I'll stay over, hold a few more nails. So he held a few more nails. He ended up staying there till the end of the day, helping Jayananda. Not just that, he came back the next day, then he ended up staying overnight. Not just that, he ended up joining the temple. Not just that, he ended up getting initiated by Prabhupada and then traveling and preaching. And not just that, he ended up then taking sannyas. And you know who that was? Jayapataka Swami. That's how he joined. He was just there, and Jayananda told him, he wasn't even planning to be there, and Jayananda just told him, hold this one, and from there, boom, it all began. And that's how Jayapataka Maharaj joined the Hare Krishna movement. So Jagannath, anything connected to Rath Yatra, anything connected to Jagannath, brings great auspiciousness. And so Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco manifested Jagannath's pastimes in the Western world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Alright, if there's any quick question anyone has, otherwise. Yes.
Maybe not a quick question, so you can make a quick answer if possible. But it's, you know, when we see devotees, when we see that they're often, like, it takes, as you mentioned, it takes a lot of fortune and auspiciousness to come into contact with the Krishna conscious movement, and that indicates even ourselves, we must have done something in a previous birth to be here. So, how is it that after accumulating such spiritual credit, that sometimes devotees, like, even though they were able to associate with Srila Prabhupada in person, they end up leaving the movement or going out of Krishna consciousness, looping? How is it possible that, because it takes such a, you know, pious credit?
If you look at the Bhagavatam, in every single canto is full of individuals who made some mistake along the line. In the first canto, Parikshit makes a mistake. In the second canto, Brahmaji makes a mistake. In the fourth canto, Dhruva makes a mistake. In the fifth canto, Bharat makes a mistake. He's on the level of Path. He gets attached to a deer. In the sixth canto, Ajamil makes a mistake. Everywhere you see in every canto of the Bhagavatam, our journey in this life is never just one straight line. Why is the Bhagavatam full of all of these stories where devotees seemingly make a mistake or veer away from the path of devotion? Because the Bhagavatam is reminding us that the nature of the world, Kaviraj Goswami says, my path is difficult and I'm slipping again and again. And so the first thing is that Sri Bhakti Marga Iha Kantaka Kodi Ruddha Prabodhananda Saraswati, he says, this beautiful path of bhakti is spiked with many thorns. The Vedas say, Shurasya Dada Nishitam Duratyaya. The spiritual path is like a razor's edge. So if we're a little bit inattentive, if we somehow become offensive towards others, or if we become familiar and ritualistic, then we may find ourselves going away from the path. The main reasons why people veer away from the path are offenses, inattentiveness, and mechanical factors, ritualistic. So we have to guard against these things. But we must realize that even if someone veers away from the path or they leave the path, what is Krishna saying? Shibram bhavati dharma atma sasvat chanti nigachati kauteya pratijani hi namre bhakta pranishati. Arjuna, you declared it that my devotee will never perish. You don't let me to come back. So, yes, devotees may. There was one devotee, Sudama, I think, and he was a sannyasi at one time. Anyway, then he left the movement, then he became very estranged from devotees. Then in his final days, he somehow ended up in an apartment. And somehow some devotees found out, oh, he's there, he's leaving his body, so they went to go and see him. And in the last moments, they were with him, and you know what his final words were? Right when he was leaving his body, his eyes opened loud and he said, Prabhupada, you've come. And then he passed, left his body. So that's amazing. Maybe he had a vision of Prabhupada. Maybe Prabhupada came. Krishna always takes care. So, yeah. So because of offenses or inattentiveness from my temporary. But Krishna says, Neha Vikrama Naso Sita Devaya Vidyate Svalpam Apya Siddharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhaya. Krishna says, in this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. Whatever progress you make, you will be preserved. And you just carry on. So some devotees, they're way down the motorway back to Godhead, but for the time being, they're just on the side, the heart shoulder. Okay. It may look like they're not on the road anymore, but once they get on the road, you'll understand, my God, they're already so far.
Here, but at some point I wanted a bit of clarification of the seventh offense, but I don't remember
the seventh offense. Simple activities on the strength of chanting the names of the Lord.
I think so, because I know that you've got to be respectful towards all the Vaishnava scriptures and towards the holy day, which is understandable, but there's something to do a bit more. I don't know if there's something else that I'm missing out.
So which offense are you specifically asking about?
It was the
seventh one is that to commit sinful activities. Is that the one you're talking about?
What sinful activities can
What this means is that if one thinks that, oh, I will do some bad activity, and then after that I will come and I will chant the holy name of Krishna, and then all my pap, all my reactions will disappear. So they don't have any plan of changing themselves. But they simply use the spiritual practice as a way to get rid of their sins. Isn't it? Like in some traditions you have atonement. So then after you've done all your bad activities, then you go and you say, Father, I have done this, I have done that, I stole this, I broke that, I did that, here's a donation. And then the Father says, you are forgiven. Like that. But then the next week the person comes back and does the same thing. One time one person was coming like this, so every week he would come with £10. He said, you're forgiven. Then one week he came and admitted everything, and this week he gave £20. He said, you're forgiven. But why £20 this week? He said, next week I'm on holiday. So I'm just covering for the next installment as well. And then this person has no intention to change. So when we commit sins on the strength of chanting the holy name, it means we're doing something wrong, thinking that if I then chant the holy name, I will be okay. So we should not use the holy name like that.
So what are these sins then? I mean, the four regulative principles are there which you have to follow. Or do we have to... So what are these sins that they're talking about? Is it just...
Those things, you know, when you... Not just the four regulative principles, what it is that what do those four regulative principles signify? Why do we not eat meat? Because not eating meat annihilates your mercy. Why do we not gamble? Because not gambling annihilates your truthfulness? Why do we not take intoxication? Because intoxication annihilates your austerity. And why do we not engage in illicit sex? Because that annihilates your cleanliness. So when you do activities which are unclean, unmerciful, untruthful, which look at immediate benefit but not what will be good for you long term, these are sinful activities. Sin means something done without Krishna in the picture. For example, if you eat but you don't offer it to Krishna, then what does Krishna say? Yet bachanti atma kala not. Yogya shishta shina shanto. Yeah, so food which is eaten without being offered to Krishna, that person verily eats only. So anything done without Krishna is a sin, and anything done against Krishna is an aparad. Aparad is even more severe than sin, because sin means you're not including Krishna in the picture. Aparad means you're doing something which is specifically displeasing to Krishna. So there's an overlap between them as well. But yeah, these are the kind of activities. For example, being untruthful. It's also sinful. So we should not do things and then just come to the holy name. Think that, okay, now I'm purified, I'm okay.
So is it something like the basic Ten Commandments? Do not steal, do not tell lies, and do not... Is it elaborated somewhere what the sins were? And then in any of the texts to read, and what they mean by it, detail?
The sins means to do, as I said, anything without Krishna and anything against the recommendations of Shastra.
Mm-hmm.
So in scripture it's basically giving you, like say for example in the Bhagavad Gita, you're given a breakdown of what is ignorance, passion and goodness, isn't it? So then you can immediately understand activities in ignorance and passion will draw some level of sinful reaction. And even activities in goodness, there is also some reaction to that as well. So what is the only way to be free of reaction? To bring Krishna into the equation. Therefore, we say prasadam is karma free because it's including Krishna in the picture. So, yajna means to do something for Krishna's satisfaction, to bring Krishna into the picture. Then you are protected against sin.
See, this is a bit confusing. Let's say there is a businessman and he is doing business and he is a Krishna devotee. And he's not supposed to be telling lies, but he might be doing it in his business or day-to-day dealings.
Mm-hmm.
If he keeps Krishna in between, does it make it sinless then? Or, I don't know, how does this work?
It's a difficult one. Prabhupada said sometimes for certain occupations, some things are unavoidable. Like, even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, every endeavor in the world is covered by some kind of fault. When you walk down the street, you step on an ant. That's also a sin. When you're doing business, it's that kind of situation where sometimes you may have to, it's part of the job, to some extent. Not a hardcore corruption, but sometimes you may just have to say. Prabhupada said, you go into a shop and you're not making no profit. They know it's a lie, you know it's a lie, but it's just okay, it's part of just the job. So some things might be there, and of course if that person then is using whatever they earn, dedicating it to Krishna, then to some extent they become relieved of that. But again, we shouldn't use that as an excuse that, oh, at the end I'll offer it all to Krishna, some of it to Krishna, and then I'll do all kinds of nefarious business activities. No. So there's some grey area like that. But Krishna knows your heart and Krishna knows your sincerity. That's the main thing. Yeah.
So there's a small one. With regard to offences, if we inevitably mix with devotees, there is a chance that somehow or another we will say or do or act in a way which offends another Vaishnava. But saying that, we should not give up association with devotees. So
yeah, it's not like Woody Allen, he once said, me and my wife, we live in separate houses. We have separate hobbies. We have separate friends. We have separate lifestyles. We're doing everything we can to stay together. Interesting. The comedian. So he's making the point that the only way they can stay together is if they stay separate, because if they, the moment they come together, they begin arguing. But what's the point? But the idea here is that, yes, when you're with devotees naturally, there's obviously an opportunity of offense, but there's also an opportunity of many other things as well. There's an opportunity to be captured by the amazing qualities of the devotees. There's an opportunity to serve Krishna together and develop deeper bonds. There's an opportunity to learn from them. There's an opportunity to serve them. So all of that far outweighs everything. We're not going to overcome offenses by staying away from the thing. We're going to overcome offenses by engaging with it in the proper way and developing a deep appreciation. And therefore, yes, it's a razor's edge being in Vaishnava Sangha, but that doesn't mean you stay away. In other words, you stay in, but be attentive. Okay, we'll end there. Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.